Thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle DeLino, family law and divorce attorney with DeLino Law Group in the Seattle Bellevue area.
And I'm Amy Alpeza. I'm a certified real estate divorce specialist, and I work all over King County, specialize in helping clients who are either going through divorce or separation understand their real estate assets as it pertains to their divorce settlement.
Divorce Confidential is tips and tricks from the pros. Every week, we're going to bring you something new, something you didn't know, something that matters. So thanks for being here with us, and let's get started. Amy and I thought we'd just talk about something that, you know, maybe it's not something you want to talk about or think about, but you need to. How does your divorce impact your kids? It can impact your kids long after a divorce is over. Amy, let's talk about it.
Yeah. So this is just something, you know, that I deal with, I feel like, almost on a daily basis. Sometimes it's more at the forefront than other times, but definitely, you know, having just come off the holiday season. And as some of you know, I have three children. They're all teenagers this year, three in high school. And I alternate, you know, co-shared parenting time with my ex, my kids' father. We do live in the same city, but you know, it can be very challenging just in terms of, you know, how it has impacted my kids. And even though it's been 10 years since we've been separated, and 8 years since the divorce was finalized, it still comes up for my children a lot. And, you know, of course I think about, like, you know, when I was going through the process, like, should I wait? Should I wait until the kids are out of the house? And I thought, well, I can't wait till they're out of the house. That's 10 more years, you know, or 15 more years for my youngest. And, right, you know, being so unhappy. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, you know, maybe I should wait until they're out of the house and then everything will be so much easier for them. And, yeah, you know, Michelle, I know your parents are still married, but my parents, they split up my senior year of high school and I was the youngest, and they've been married for almost 30 years. And it was like, why are they getting a divorce now? You know, like, why'd they wait so long if they're so unhappy, right? And so I think a lot of times people have this misconception that if you wait till the kids are out of the house, like, they'll be much better off. And sometimes that is true in the sense, like, you know, one party doesn't have like a girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, or different partners coming in and out of the household. But I know for my own personal situation, there is no way I could have stayed in the household for another 15 years for my kids to graduate. Right. So,
totally.
So what I have now is I've got, you know, my oldest, he was 8, and, I do think it impacted him the hardest because he was the oldest and, you know, just had the most memories of us being together and married. And so he still, I mean, he really struggles with it. And I think, you know, kids always want their parents to stay together, right? Like, right, no kid ever wants their parents to split up, even if the relationship isn't very good. And so, I don't know, I'm sure you see that a lot in your practice where you,
right,
see, like, maybe people come to you for, they want to renegotiate like a parenting plan, for example, or, you know, they want to come to you because something's not working in what they have, you know, figured out. And I've definitely been there too. I mean, I've been there, I've come to you a couple times over the last few years to see about, you know, renegotiating my parenting plan. But I guess just the takeaway that I would say is you have to do what's right for you, but also think about, you know, the timing and how that impacts your children, because, and it's a 2020, right? I mean, 2020, right? Like, if I was going to do it all over again, would I have done it different? Probably not, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, I think it's better for my children to see me happy and in a really positive relationship versus the constant fighting. Or, you know, some people have relationships where they never fight, but they never talk to each other either.
Right. Exactly.
So it's like, what are you modeling for your children to have a better future, right? And to have a better chance at having good relationships and healthy relationships when they're adults, right?
Oh, that's such a good point. I mean, my brother, Tony, who also works with the firm, Tony is a single parent now to 4 boys after being in a long, really damaging relationship. And I think that he's a great example of staying together for a while because they thought, we have 4 kids, we need to stay together. But really, it wasn't until he left the relationship and now his kids are able to see him in a happy and healthy relationship and see that modeled for them, that he realizes, wow, staying in that negative relationship actually did damage to my kids. Right. And it's, you know, so I think what you're saying is totally spot on. You know, would you do it different? Is it difficult now? And does it still impact your kids now? Yes. But would you still do it again? Yes. Because your kids get to see you and probably their dad in way better spot than if the two of you were together and fighting. I think it's important that people just realize it does have an impact on your kids. And that doesn't necessarily mean that staying together for your kids is the best thing. It means you need to really look at your situation and try to go through the process with, you know, dignity and respect for the other parent. So the other, you know, what I hear this all the time in my practice, one person is saying things like, oh, mom's talking bad about dad, and oh, dad's the reason that, you know, we had to get a divorce, dad's the reason we don't have any money, or mom's the reason, or whatever. And yeah, just leaving that out of it and being able to move on to something happier and healthier in a dignified way, I think is a lot better. Oh, but now it's a tough situation when you have kids involved, but it seems like you handled it in a way that, you know, it was the right thing for your family. And even though it's tough now, when it comes up with your kids, I guess, just tell me this, we can close on this so people can think about it. How do you deal with it when the kids bring up the divorce 10 years later? Like, what do you do? Do you sit down and just talk about it in an honest way? Do you tell them it's in the past? Like, what works for you?
Yeah. You know, so it kind of started to come up, I would say, when my oldest, you know, first was becoming a teenager. So about 5 years after the divorce, and, you know, really tough questions. And I felt in our situation, because of the extent to which, you know, I think his dad had shared information with him, that I had to be very honest and just said, you know what, ask me anything that you want. I'm happy to answer it for you, but it's also, you know, it takes two people, right? Like two people to be married and two people to get a divorce, right? Like there's never one person, regardless of whatever transgressions one party might say against the other. It always takes two people. And
that's a great response. That's the thing. You might, you know, if your ex-husband has said some things to your kids, and you can kind of reframe it being like, look, it's not all him, it's not all me. It takes two people. That's something I think a lot of parents lose sight of, because one parent is very often just frankly really pissed at the other parent. Yeah. And over the years, it's like, well, if your mom hadn't left, well, if your dad hadn't cheated or whatever.
Right.
And that is not helpful. It takes two people no matter what for a marriage to end. It really does.
You know, that's great. Thinking about, like, I mean, my own parents, I mean, my parents have been divorced now for, okay, how old was I? So it's been like 25 years since they've been divorced. My mom is still resentful at my dad for their divorce, you know, 25 years later.
Right.
And it's crazy to me. It's just like, you know, part of it, I think, is personality, right? Like you want to leave the past in the past and move on and get some help, like, you know, therapy, moving through it. And, you know, that's something that I've highly encouraged for my children along the way too, is when you have, like, I can be a sounding board, but I'm not a professional, right? So
it's
really important to have that professional advice, and also somebody who focuses on, you know, a therapist who focuses on working with children, right? Because adolescents are completely different, you know, and the psychology is completely different than a therapist who works with couples and, you know, and adults.
No, absolutely. And I think what you just brought up is another thing I see in my practice a lot, and anybody out there, totally, please listen to what Amy just talked about getting a sounding board for your kids, because it's important for parents to talk to their kids about how they're feeling and how they're going through divorce, but you can't be a parent and also be your kid's mental health professional.
Right.
And on the flip side of that, you can't use, some parents make the mistake of using, especially if they have teenage kids, using them as their therapists during a divorce and talking about how they're feeling. So I think it's important for a parent to make sure they have their own professional mental health. Don't use your kids as your therapist.
Right.
And don't put that on them. And then getting your kids somebody independent to talk about other than you. And also too, some, you know, no matter how good of a relationship you have with your kids, they might not necessarily always feel comfortable telling you everything that they're feeling about the divorce or about other stuff going on. So having a child therapist is so important, and unfortunately is also really hard to find right now. There's yes. not a lot. Yeah.
It's
and there's
so
not a lot.
Difficult.
But don't give up.
Yes. Don't give up. And I think, you know, maybe one thing that we could talk about too, is like, you know, resources, right? Like yep. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but resources for where they could go to look for, you know,
yeah.
a child and family therapist.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think good options for doing that are, if you have your own therapist or you know anyone that does, asking if there are, anytime you get a direct referral to somebody, I find, you know, they might be more willing to take you when capacity mm-hmm. is limited, if it's coming from another therapist mm-hmm. or, you know, personal referrals are just the best, I feel like, because then you know, hey, this person has worked with my kid or my friend's kid or heard good things. Other thing is check with, this is the hard part, is everybody wants to check with their insurance carrier, and therapy and insurance is a tough thing because there's usually only limited providers. So what I would tell people too is, if you are looking at therapists, don't necessarily be tied to someone who is in network with your plan, because yes. it's super limited. Therapists that are out of network or don't quote unquote take insurance can still, you can still submit their billing to your insurance for out of network coverage and get some reimbursement. So be open to somebody that's not necessarily on your plan, and you're going to be more likely to find someone. And don't be afraid to ask too, if you're looking for somebody in a specific area, don't be afraid to ask on places, this sounds so weird, but places like Nextdoor totally. Or Facebook community groups, yes. because there's a lot of people out there that have great therapists that are not necessarily, therapists don't have yes. a web presence the way that a realtor or a lawyer necessarily does. So yes. asking in your own community and being open to people where you might be able to submit reimbursement to your insurance, but they might not necessarily be on your plan. Sometimes you just have to be willing to look outside of the box, and that's yeah. where you find the best therapists. So.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I absolutely echo all those sentiments. So
totally. Well, this has been great, Amy. And thanks for being willing to share some of your personal experiences. Yeah, I think absolutely. The big takeaway for everybody is do what's right for you, and just be aware that your kids are listening and watching, and they need support, even if it might be years after your divorce. Yeah. So it doesn't mean it's over for everybody yeah. forever. So yeah. Absolutely. Well, great. Well, we'll see you guys all next time. Thanks a lot. And we look forward to catching you on the next episode of Divorce Confidential. Take care.